Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning. The Lord would speak to us through His Word. Through the foolishness of preaching, that the Lord would give us something that would be valuable in our walk with Him. Every one of us are eternity bound. Every one of us is given a soul that will live forever somewhere. It's our desire, our prayer, that each one of us make our calling and election sure. And there's a way that we can do that. I'd like to speak to us of a burden the Lord's been talking to me about for a little while. Shared a part of it last week concerning faith being the substance of things hoped for. And by the Lord's help, would like to speak this morning about the evidence of unseen things. We spoke about last week things that people hope for. There are a lot of hopes that people have for betterment of their lives, for relief, for improved situations of their life, for things to get better. People have a lot of hopes that their soul is going to be all right. The unknowns and uncertainties that they feel about their soul and what happens after death. The Bible teaches us that we have something more sure and more certain than just an empty, vain hope. That I hope everything will be all right. That I'm taking a gamble. I don't really know, but I hope that things will be better or be okay for me. That there is a substance. There is a foundation. There's something firm that our hopes can be built on. Whenever we draw our final breath, folks, we don't have to live our lives under the fear of death. But Christ came to deliver us from that fear and to give us boldness in the day of judgment, John said. So I'm thankful that we can have a sure foundation to our hopes and our dreams. And folks, that the politician's statements that our brighter days are ahead is only true as our people will humble themselves and turn to God. That's the only brightness of our future, and our future path is as we find it in the Lord. In vain, we read the scripture, is salvation hoped for from the hills. But our hope is in the Lord. So, beginning again this morning in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews 11 in the first verse says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Faith. This chapter deals with the subject extensively. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. I'd like to consider here for a little while this morning things that are not seen. We are conditioned to, with the senses that we have, of sight and of hearing and of touch and etc., to process the world around us through those senses. But you know, there's more than what these eyes can see. There's more than what these ears can hear to life. We look on a person, for example, and we see the outward form of a person. We see the body. We see maybe the effects of the years that the years have taken upon that body. We see those features that are distinguishable, that are so evident or apparent. You know, there's a whole lot more to a man than what the eye sees. There's a whole lot more that to what a person is than what you can see. This world has missed that concept. This world is trying to treat the problems that are happening in our world today, the violence, the school shootings and things like that, just off of the things that we see, the things that the doctors can treat, etc. But you know, there's more to a man than that. There is a spirit within man. There is that force within that animates, that drives a person to do the things that they do, that is governed by either the God of heaven, the God of peace and of righteousness, or by the enemy of our souls through his dark powers. So there's more than just what is seen by these natural eyes. I'd like to look at 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Well, what's he talking about here? The outward man and the inward man. Is he talking about the kidney and the liver and all of that kind of thing that's the inward man? No, there's more to it than that. There's more than the fleshly, mortal body of an individual. Though the outward man, or though the fleshly man, he says, perish, and he can see it, he can feel it with the years and with affliction and with pains and all that might rack our bodies. Though the outward man perish, there is an inward man that can be renewed, made new from day to day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So Paul had a vision of something here as he had gone through a lot of persecution in his life. A lot of difficulty, imprisonment and afflictions and stripes and perils that he had been through and of many different means. He said that this is a light affliction. And it's but for a moment. The pain that I'm feeling in body and in spirit, it's light. And it's just going to be a short time. Well, what was it that Paul was looking at then? It said it works a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, because I'm not looking at the things that I can see. Folks, if we live our lives looking only at the things that these eyes can see, we'll never see the picture. We'll never have the right perspective on life. The Apostle Paul said that if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. That's the state that it'll leave us in. If our hopes are only in that which we can see, that's what this world is. You can experience this world. Even the smallest microorganisms, you can look at them through a microscope, etc. You can experience, you can touch and taste and feel and see and hear and... But if we put our hopes, if we live for nothing more than what we can see and what we can feel, we're going to be miserable. Whenever things turn south, go sideways, when things don't go well for us, you know what it leaves us with? It leaves us with discouragement and hopelessness. When people get to a place, people who have lived their lives for the here and now, What enjoyment and pleasure I can find in life today, they come down to a place that their body begins to fail them. They begin to realize that life is departing them. You know, it leaves many times a despair and a hopelessness and a fear. There's nothing I can do. This is all I've known. This is what I've put all of my hopes in. And it's leaving me. There's nothing that I can do to retain my spirit or to keep my life. Folks, there's more to our existence than what we see here today. There's more at work than what we see with these natural eyes. And thank the Lord for it. Because it teaches me that when all of this is over, when I draw my last breath, that there is something after this. This isn't what I'm living for. If this body fails me, as it will, this is just temporary. But there's something of me that is eternal. My spirit, my soul, that is eternal, and there is an existence that goes far beyond this grave. An eternal weight of glory. Oh, if we were to compare, remember one time Brother Larry gave the illustration. I did this in India or Sri Lanka, I don't recall which. Took a long piece of rope, maybe 25 feet or so, and on the end attached just a couple inches of string of a different color. And used that to represent the span of our lifetime. It seems so long whenever you're young. But 70, 80, 90 years that we spend our life, and people invest everything they have in this life with never or little a thought of what comes after this. After I draw my final breath, all their hopes are in this one basket, in this one little length of string. But beyond that, as the years roll on, into eternal continuation, never ending. It's something that our minds can't really grasp, but I want to tell you, there is a God in heaven who inhabits eternity, whose perspective is eternal things. The Lord is looking at more than just our momentary situation. The Lord is wanting to work in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The Lord wants more for us than just to live for today, to live for the comforts that this life affords right now. We've got to have, by the Lord's help, by faith. Through faith we understand this, that there is a more eternal weight of glory, that there is something beyond this that I want and must live for. The things that we see, they're temporary. But the things that we don't see are eternal. You know, there's so much that we don't see. You know, I've never been to Tanzania, but I believe it exists. I've seen some evidence of it. I've seen pictures of it. I've heard people tell about being to Fiji. I've never been there. I've never seen it, but I believe that it exists. There's a whole lot that exists that I have never seen. I have never seen with these eyes an atom. But I believe they exist, and that I am made up of atoms. For that matter, I've never seen my brain, but by faith I believe it does exist. You know how foolish it would be for a young child, maybe a toddler, to say, if I haven't seen it, I don't believe it exists. If I can't comprehend it and compute it in my mind, it's not true. You know, as a young child, there is so much that I can't comprehend, that I don't know. I've never been 5 miles beneath the surface of the ocean. But I believe of the depths and the enormity of what's under there. There's so much that I can't see, that I have not experienced myself. But I'm able to believe that it exists because there's evidence of it. There are pictures that have been taken, or eyewitnesses that have been and can tell me about it. And I believe it. There's reason to believe, although I myself have not seen it. Again, I say that there is so much in this life that we have not seen. There is so much that is unseen to these eyes, even of the spiritual realm in this world. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen the radio waves being transmitted to the antenna on your car? You ever seen them? You ever see an FM radio wave hitting your antenna? Does it exist? No, it can't exist. I haven't seen it. You know, just because I haven't seen it doesn't mean it's not so. There is a whole lot that these eyes are so limited that I'm not able to see. Infrared light, things of that nature, I can't see it with these eyes, but it is nonetheless just as real as what I can touch and feel and experience and see. It's real. It is. It exists. Although I can't see it, there are spirits in this world that I cannot see with these eyes, that I'm not going to be able to look at. You know what? The devil doesn't work in this world, going around, walking up and down these streets with horns and a forked tail and pitchfork and all. He doesn't. That's not the way the enemy works. But I believe that there is a devil. I believe that there is an enemy of my soul. I feel it. I fight against it every day. There's something more than what these eyes can see. That there has to be eyes of our understanding that are opened and enlightened to be able to see those things that are unseen. Let's turn to the book of John. John, the third chapter. Read a little bit of what Jesus said to Nicodemus. There's a lot that Nicodemus didn't understand. But he understood that the miracles that Jesus did, God had to be with him. You know, whenever we come with whatever degree of faith we have, we heard the request this morning, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. You know, that's a very valid prayer that we can come to the Lord. Lord, I know that you're God. Lord, I know that you're working this for my good. I know that. But Lord, help my unbelief. I'm struggling with it. There's some things that I don't understand. There's some things that this flesh is crying out to want to see the evidence. And I just can't see it. Lord, help my unbelief. Nicodemus came with the degree of faith that he had. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see a kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's all I've seen. That's all I've ever known. What are you talking about? There's something besides that? Oh, Nicodemus, there's a whole realm here, a whole world here that you're not able to see. That's not the kind of birth that's happening. There is a spiritual birth. Folks, I've seen many of people come down to an altar of prayer, and I myself. And they get up and you see the same face, although there's many times kind of a different countenance on that face. They have the same hands and feet and everything that they had before. But there's something different. There's something that's changed about that individual. There's something that changed about me. It wasn't what you can see and touch and feel. But I'm going to tell you, there's a new birth that happened of a spirit that was shriveled up and dead inside of me. New life that was given to him. Oh, Nicodemus, you must be born again to see and to enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. They are distinct and separate. There's that which you're able to see, which is of the flesh. But there's also that which you're not able to see, which is of the spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So I'll ask you, as Jesus pointed out to Nicodemus, have you ever seen the wind? Have you ever seen the wind? Have you ever seen air? Jesus said, you can't see the wind, where it came from and where it's going. You're not able to see that. Nonetheless, the wind is not untrue, unreal. You can see the effects of the wind. You can see what the wind is producing. You can see what the wind is doing. Folks, we may not be able to see the devil, but you can see in the news all around us the evidence of the devil. The evidence of one who is full of hatred and malice and envy, and you see the evidence of it all around. Our world is reeling from the evidence of it. You know, there's also an evidence that's been born in my spirit of something else, of a love of God, of a hope that is born within my heart. There is an evidence of something that has taken place that a microscope would not show you. I know people have tried to do studies before. When somebody dies, is there a change of their mass when the spirit leaves the body? Is there a change of their weight, even in grams, when their spirit leaves the body? Folks, you can't tell it with scales. You can't measure it with a measuring tape. You can't assess it like that. You can't take a picture of it. But it is just as real as this body is, the spirit that is within us, and the evidence of God's working within our heart and our lives. It is so natural for us to want to see what we believe in. You know, it's why there's idolatry. Ask Brother Veda. Over in India, there are how many gods? Many, many gods and idols that they worship. Every home and family and village, they have their own god, their own idol, and they'll have an image of it, maybe on the gate of the wall of their house, or by the door, over the door, or a picture in their house of their god. It doesn't look attractive to me. It might have 8 or 10 arms and no telling how many heads and things, but that's their god. It's something that they can see. You know, even the children of Israel, when they were brought up out of Egypt, and the Lord called Moses up into the mountain, it wasn't very long before the people started saying, "We can't see Moses. We don't know what's happened to him." Moses was the visible link unto God. We can't see him anymore. What's happened? We need to be able to see our God. So make us a golden calf unto Aaron. And now they had this golden, and we look at it and say, how foolish. But that's the way the flesh is. The flesh wants to be able to see what it hopes in. And we can call it a golden calf or whatever, but in our lives, the flesh is going to cry out to be able to see what it hopes in. Or to cry out against the idea of believing in something that I can't pick up with my hand. But folks, we're going to have to be able to realize that there is so much more that our eyes can't see. And I am so thankful that our God, He can't be contained under a microscope. Our God cannot be contained in a telescope. As much of the universe as we can take in, you can't take all of God in. I picture in my mind if somehow you could see God like that. You might would just see one little part of His elbow in all the vast universe that you're looking at. Folks, our God cannot be contained in that. But we see the evidence of our God. Romans, the first chapter, says, it is clearly seen, if we will but see it, if we will be willing for God to reveal it unto us. The universe that exists so far beyond our comprehension, folks, it testifies of God. It bears the fingerprints of God on the macro scale like that, on the micro scale, the tiniest of flowers and organisms that just work together so intricately. They testify of God. They bear witness of an intricate, intelligent designer. It's all around us. It's like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of it. We can see in our world today the effects of God and the effects of the devil. It is as real, and I dare say, if it can be so, even more real than the things that we touch, pick up, feel, experience. These things are temporary, they're temporal, they pass away, they're not going to last. Let's look at John, the 20th chapter. 20th chapter of John, and beginning in the 25th verse, "The disciples therefore said unto Thomas, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto him, Except I shall see the in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." It's impossible. I don't see him. He's dead. I saw him crucified. I don't believe you. I'm going to have to not only be able to see it, but I'm going to have to be able to touch it and feel as well before I can believe that this is so. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he, you get this picture? Here's the disciples are gathered together, and all of a sudden, as they're talking together or whatever, there's Jesus. How'd he get in here? The doors are shut. But there's no denying it now. That's Jesus. And he stood in the midst of them, and he turned to Peter, or to Thomas. And he said, "Thomas, come here. Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing, Thomas." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." I believe now. Folks, faith is the evidence of things not seen. And he said, "Thomas, don't be faithless, but be believing. You didn't see, and so you didn't believe. But I was, and I am, and I always will be, Thomas. Here, I'm going to provide you further evidence. Come and feel and touch for yourself." And Thomas had no doubts then, had no question in his mind. He said, "My Lord and my God." All doubts are gone now. Folks, there is an evidence of things not seen that the Lord is willing to provide to any one of us who are willing to believe in Him. Jesus said, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." There is evidence of that which is not seen. Folks, today I've never seen Jesus in His bodily form, but I'm going to tell you, I believe nonetheless. I know it to be so. There's not question. I'm going to tell you, I don't need a scientist to come and prove it to me. I'm not waiting for the God particle or experiment, the particle collider or whatever to prove to me whether. Folks, I know. I am persuaded. I am convinced that there is a man, and yet so much more, named Jesus, who sitteth at the right hand of God. And folks, I believe and I know that one day I'm going to go and stand before Him and meet Him. My mind is satisfied. I'm convinced. I am persuaded. That persuasion doesn't have to happen with someone bringing the Shroud of Turin to me to say, "Look, here's the shroud, and here's the silhouette of Jesus on this shroud. There's evidence." I don't need it, because I have something even more concrete in my heart. The world will listen to what I'm saying and say, "That makes no sense. How can you get more concrete than something you can touch?" Folks, I could believe no more if I saw a photograph and say, "Well, here was the earliest unknown Kodak from AD 32, a picture taken of it. Here he is." I don't need it. I know. I am persuaded of something that has been revealed within my heart that I am experiencing, that has provided evidence that it is true and that it is real. Faith without works is dead. But we don't believe in vain hope, in hope without substance, or faith without evidence. Folks, this isn't something that's without evidence. This isn't something like you might say to a child, Santa Claus is coming. And they grasp on the authority of what mom or dad or teacher said. But there's no cause to believe. There's no evidence of the belief. Folks, the Lord has provided so much evidence for us. Yes. In this world around us, by the promises, there's a scripture that says, experience worketh hope. Now I want us to think about that. Experience produces hope. You walk with the Lord. You have some experience with the Lord. You taste and see what God is. And I'm going to tell you, it will produce hope. It will produce faith in you. As you see God's goodness and His mighty power, as you see God answer prayer for you, as you come to the Lord in your time of distress and a situation that is impossible, you come to the Lord and you pray and you see God move and work in a way that there is no doubt God heard and answered prayer. I'm going to tell you, those experiences will produce hope. They'll produce faith within your heart. And the Lord wants to work that in every one of our hearts and our lives. That we get something. And the wonderful thing about it is it doesn't just have to be hearsay evidence. I don't just have to take it on the merit of you say it so, or I say it so as the preacher, so you have to believe it. No, you go talk to the Lord for yourself. Let Him give you some evidence. Let Him shed abroad this hope in your heart. And you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll get a hold of it for yourself. And the Lord wants to do that for every one of us. He wants to produce the faith, the hope that grasps hold of what is beyond what we can see and touch. Romans, the 8th chapter, says here of hope. Romans 8 and 24, we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. There is a hope that the Lord wants to shed abroad in our hearts. It's something that we can't see. Folks, none of us have seen the other side of this veil. The veil of death. I've not been there. You haven't either. I haven't been to the other side and come back. You know what? Abraham was a said unto the rich man. Rich man and Lazarus, that story, you remember? The rich man died and was in torments. And lifting up his eyes, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus with just a drop of water to give me relief. And he went on to say, would you send him back to go tell my brothers so that they don't come to this awful place? Give him the evidence. Tell him, I talked to your brother, whatever his name was, rich brother. I talked to him. I saw him. He was in torments. He was in flames of anguish. I saw him. Now you turn. And he said, it won't make a difference. You see, it's not the temporal evidence that makes the difference. There is something even more real than that, that the Lord wants to put in our hearts. But the Lord wants us to make the decision. He's not going to overpower us with such literal physical evidence that I have no choice. He will give us a choice. Am I willing to believe or am I not? Am I willing to look at Him as God? Or do I insist on looking at myself as God? And what I mean by that is, what I see is the ultimate authority. What I am able to deduct is the final truth of the matter. Folks, I choose to believe in the One who inhabits eternity. I choose to believe the account in Genesis of the One who created it all and was there. and said, let there be, and then said it is good. I don't need a scientist to tell me what happened. I don't need them to tell me how the Big Bang happened in millions and billions of years, and here's our theory. I've got an evidence within my heart that is more concrete than a theory. And I know God, and I want to know Him more. But I know Him enough to say, I've seen how great He is. And I have no doubt but what He was able to say, let there be, and it was. There's an evidence. And Abraham was saying unto the rich man, your brethren have enough evidence to believe if they are willing. Folks, we have enough evidence today to believe if we are willing. Hebrews, the sixth chapter, says of this hope, that we have this hope for an important purpose. Well, it's talking about how God gave Abraham a promise of something that he couldn't yet see. But God, in the 17th verse, God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Oh, folks, I pray, Lord, write this on our hearts. Take it home with you. Study these words. Folks, there is a hope that is founded not on the empty whims and promises of mankind and the science falsely so called. There is a hope that can anchor our souls within the veil of death, the other side of it, that whenever I come up to my time of death, folks, I don't have to shrink back in terror and fear because I have an anchor held to the other side of it. It's like working with drywall or lath and plaster. If you run a screw to anchor something heavy and it's not tied into a stud or something on the other side of the wall, you know what'll happen? That screw will strip right out and fall out of the drywall. Folks, people are anchoring their hopes in an empty sheet of drywall, just hoping it'll hit something on the other side. Folks, we have something more sure than that. There is an anchor that holds us to the other side of the veil, that's anchored in an eternal God who I know will be there to meet me on the other side of that veil. So I don't have to be wishy-washy, blown here and there and tossed and live my life in a fearful state. Because I know, folks, in a court of law, evidence is considered whether it may be admitted. I'm going to tell you, the promises of God are so sure and certain, they may be admitted as evidence in our lives. His word's enough. The word of Almighty God. He couldn't provide evidence of something as proof, but you know, in a sense He did. I'm going to contradict myself a little bit. Let's look at Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians 1 and 13 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Well, that's some kind of big words. You know what I'm saying? God has given us a foretaste. The song says a blessed assurance. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You know what it means? The Lord puts a piece of heaven in our heart when we're saved. The Lord gives us a taste of heaven. He gives us a taste of the joy of the Lord. He gives us a taste, and He says to those at His right hand, the vision of the final judgment, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You know, we can have a taste of that right now in our heart. It's an appetizer. It's a taste. It's not the whole thing, but it's just enough of a fragment of the real thing that I can taste of it and I say, oh, I know what it is. I know what's over there. Folks, it is so real within my heart. I know what it is. And when I get over there, I get homesick sometimes because I've tasted of something that I'm a citizen of. It makes me an... Oh, we could go on and on. Lord help us. It made the our fathers say, I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. I'm seeking a better country. And it's given me a taste of something in my heart and in my spirit that makes me say, I don't belong here in this world. Whenever I'm not itching for the time to die, but I'm going to tell you, when my time comes and the Lord give me the grace to be faithful to the end, I'll be able to embrace it and welcome. Oh, I know the flesh doesn't want it. I know there's a struggle sometimes in that process of dying, but in the spirit, we can say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I welcome that. I welcome that time because I know the one who's on the other side in whom I have trusted, and I have that down payment of this promise working in my heart, the Holy Spirit dwelling and shedding abroad in my heart, the love of God, the hope, the joy, the peace that is in its fullness in heaven. I've got a taste of it now. And it's like a cord, it's like more than a cord, it's like a chain that, a cable that anchors me to heaven and holds me. When the storms come in life, it holds me. There's some people that have faced some severe storms. Many, many people of this faith who were taken to the stake, the wood beneath them ignited, given the opportunity to recant, and there was something in their heart that held them. There was something there that would make the bony hands reach up from the flame and clap themselves together to show, I've got the victory. I've got a hold of something. I'm not turning back. These flames have not shaken the faith that holds me. And folks, it is that faith. It is that evidence of things not seen that the Lord wants to be working in our hearts. We may not face the hungry lion or the stake, but we're going to face a skeptical, unbelieving world. We're going to face some hardships and some things that would try to oppose our faith and our belief in God. Folks, hold fast. Hold fast to your faith. It has great recompense of reward. Don't cast away your confidence in God. Hold on to it. Get to know the Lord in a greater and a more personal way. Lord, reveal yourself unto me. I want to be able to have that faith that doesn't waver, that doesn't shake. You pray for me. Amen.